In the wake of the Las Vegas massacre, what should we do about guns? The left says we need to do something. If so, what should it be? We'll talk about it on The Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are The Uprising. With Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president! Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I have never met with Russians.
Putin is continuing to advance into
Korea.
Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement, is interested in preserving the fabric of America.
This is The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com. Tim Donner and Scott Cosenza both with you today. 59 people died and hundreds more were injured in the worst mass shooting in American history. The attack from a hotel window at a concert in Las Vegas continued over several minutes and was carried out with what's been called automatic weapons, what are popularly called machine guns. And given all the claptrap being peddled by an establishment media which knows little about guns in general and machine guns in particular, we're going to talk with Scott Cosenza, LibertyNation.com legal correspondent, and he will separate fact from fiction on the issue of guns in general and machine guns or automatic weapons in particular. Okay, Scott, let's start with the machine gun issue. In your story on LibertyNation.com this week, you write, "Fed a barrage of anti-quote assault weapons propaganda. Many people think these type of guns are common, widely available, and easily obtainable. What's the truth about the legality and availability of these kind of weapons?"
All right, so Tim, when we talk about machine guns, it's important to sort of clarify what we're talking about. Full auto or machine guns refer to a weapon that when you pull the trigger, the bullets continue to fly. That weapon continues to fire as long as you don't release the trigger or that the ammunition capacity fails, okay? So if you're talking about a magazine-fed machine gun, you pull the trigger and it'll extinguish all the rounds in the magazine and stop. If it's belt-fed, all the rounds in the belt. And that's full auto or a machine gun. The term assault weapons became popular because people who wanted to ban firearms in the United States correctly thought that if they could somehow associate guns that looked menacing with what I've just defined for you as full auto
or machine guns, right,
then they could gin up enough support politically for the banning of those weapons. And that's what we had. We had what was called the assault weapons ban. I think it was of 94 was the first, or was that, no, the, I guess Bush passed one, and then the big one was the Clinton assault weapons ban. That was in 94. And so what we had was on the news, for instance, I can remember like it was yesterday, seeing all these local newscasts and the national newscasts, and they'd show somebody at a gun range firing a fully automatic firearm. Again, they're holding the weapon steady, they've pulled the trigger once, and a river of bullets, or excuse me, of shell casings is just spitting out of that weapon. And that's
perfect
what they
way
used
to perfect
to,
way to intimidate the average housewife,
right, and
watching at home.
And
right,
actually, yeah, deliver literally, I mean, we're talking about fake news, misinformation about what that thing is. A regular firearm or semi-automatic firearm fires once each time somebody depresses the trigger. Now, to get a machine gun in the United States of America, you have to file paperwork with the federal government, an application with the ATF that they share with the FBI that includes, among other things, your fingerprints, passport photos, and such. And again, it's a year-long process, and they are a fortune. For a cheap one, you're talking about 10 grand. So you pay your $10,000, you fill out a paper, you know, reams of paperwork, including state level, and then in a year or so, assuming you're all clear, you'll get your machine gun. Now, everything we know about this mass murderer from Las Vegas suggests that he would have passed any background check for, in fact, a machine gun.
And he did pass several background checks previous to Sunday.
Not a machine gun background check, though, which is much, much, much more detailed and invasive than a standard background check to purchase a different kind of firearm. We can get into to those details as well. But just for the machine gun aspect right now, we don't know if any of the guns, at least I looked this morning before we started recording just to see if there were any details that I've missed. They haven't released any details that there were machine guns that were legally owned machine guns present in that room and that's what he used. What I have heard and what I've seen photos of, and I don't know if they're genuine photos or not, but of a couple guns on the floor of the hotel room that use what are called bump stocks.
Right.
Now, bump stocks are a device that are used to have the shooter be able to very, very quickly pull the trigger again. So the normal reset and trigger pull time are whatever they are. Move your finger back and forth as fast as you can with the gun. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is designed to make that more much faster and accelerate it to the point where, and I've listened to the audio, and it sounded a lot to me like it was automatic gunfire. Now, those devices are notoriously unreliable, and they yield poor accuracy. I actually have a device that is designed to do this for a rifle. When I first heard about it, I thought, oh, you mean I can get machine gun coolness for $49.95? Well, sign me up twice, right? So I bought one of those. This is probably 20 years ago, I bought one of these devices, and I quickly learned that it resulted in inaccurate and unreliable use. And so here's how great it was. I installed it on the rifle. I took it to the range. I tried it out. I took it home. I uninstalled it. That was over 20 years ago. I've never once touched it again. So this is not some sort of panacea for mass shooters that they can use these things reliably, and I don't think that people should panic about them. They've been on the market, like I said, for over 20 years. It's not a new piece of technology, but it does, in fact, in some instances, and certainly it did here. That's into speculation, and I want to be clear when I'm speculating versus when I'm giving factual information. So if I'm speculating, it seems clear that there were some bump stock firearms used here, and they perhaps added to the deadliness of the fire, but not that much more. I don't think.
And now there's a move in Congress to ban those stocks. I mean, so that's the obvious and typical response. But machine guns were outlawed in this country about 85 years ago, in 1934. So they're highly illegal. Adapting an automatic weapon, a semi-automatic weapon, to being automatic carries huge fines and prison terms. And there's been, by most counts that I've seen this week, there's been all of two crimes committed with machine guns since they were banned in 1934.
That were legally held.
Right.
Indeed.
That
were legally two held. Crimes that were legally. So what happened over 80 years ago is when they banned, is basically when you had to have all these special rules to have one. And then actually, Tim, Ronald Reagan passed, I think it was in 86.
Yes.
An additional rule that capped all civilian machine guns at the level they were at in 1986. So, you can imagine if the number of motorcycles, you could own a motorcycle, but only one that was made in 1986 or prior, what would that do to motorcycle inventories and what would it do to their prices? Well, things break, things get lost or stolen, right? But you can't make any more. You can't register any new ones. And the population has increased by 100 million people probably since then, and there are no more additions, machine guns in civilian hands. So the prices have gone crazy high. It's a very rare item. And I think that...
I think we're probably obsessing too much about it because it was used in the commission of this one particularly horrific crime.
Yeah.
The worst mass shooting in American history. But doesn't it sort of perversely make the whole point that strict gun laws don't work? Because a guy like this man, Paddock, who obviously had some sort of a psychotic break mm-hmm. in order to go on this kind of shooting spree and make a killing field out of a crowd of 22,000 concert goers below, the fact that the laws that we just talked about prohibiting owning a machine gun except under the most extraordinary of circumstances or in military use, completely outlawed, huge penalties for doing what he did, and yet he went ahead and committed the crime. Doesn't that make the point that stricter gun laws don't stop sick or criminal people from committing gun crimes.
One thing I've asked these sort of people that I'm having these Facebook arguments with over this issue, and have you been defriended yet? Oh,
several
yeah.
by several.
This
I
week
bet.
Has this week has done a number on more my Facebook friend count.
More or less than were you defriended more or less than you were in the week after the 2016 election?
Well, more, but I think the Trump defriending, the great Trump defriending,
as it's known in the popular media,
anti-Hillary yeah. defriending in my case was spread over several weeks and months, whereas this has been concentrated, and the concentration comes, I think, and I say this without the typical or often derogatory use of the term, but just sheer ignorance. People who do not understand guns, how they work, their regulation or laws, who spout off, and you know, everybody has valid. Everybody can weigh in on policy debates, but I can say that. Since I was a teenager, this has been a passionate interest of mine, both firearms, their regulation, and operation. And, you know, when you've read dozens of law review articles, Supreme Court cases, presented testimony to state legislatures, been hired in part as a policy expert in this area, you tend to take the opinion of somebody who just turned on the news and then right. spouted off of their own what we should do as like maybe
oh, you
a
mean,
grain
oh,
of salt.
You're talking about members of the media.
Right,
I mean
right.
the levels of ignorance among the media are astounding. What happens is that they have their predetermined views about guns like they do about everything else.
Right.
And they don't let the facts of the situation get in the way. They have their narrative, and they're not going to be taken off of it. But let's broaden out the discussion to talk about gun control efforts in general following Las Vegas. The current target for the left is to stop legislation legalizing suppressors, known as silencers in the popular culture. Why is there an effort to legalize suppressors?
Okay. You're right to say this word suppressor and differentiate that from silencer, and that's part of important part of the argument. You know, if you look on television or in the movies and somebody fires a gun with one of these devices attached to their gun, it may click like, that's the pen in my hand, right? Like, it's just this tiny little or right. whisper or no sound at all, as if it could be completely right, right. silent, right?
And Hillary Clinton writing that yeah. that if this
oh
guy firing what was turned into an automatic weapon, a machine gun.
I was in a good mood until you said that. Can we not talk
about the suppressor would have stopped the sound
yeah.
of, I mean, talk about someone yeah. who knows nothing about guns and yet is full of opinions.
Yeah, this is, you know, well, actually, if we might just return very briefly to that Facebook thing. I think there's this strong desire to do something. This is something I heard. I think it was Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel. This desire, like, let's just do something. Well, what if the
signal our virtue by saying we right. must do all we can to stop gun violence? But they have no answers.
Anybody who demands action. Let's take a look at the action you're demanding and say, would this have stopped this particular mass shooter?
Exactly.
Would it stop some significant other universe of mass shooters? And if not, and it's an imposition on liberty, then why should we enact it? Just to feel good about it? I think that's ridiculous. All right, so let's return quickly to the suppressor thing. So suppressors reduce the sound of the report of a firearm firing to levels that are still very loud. It's not a whisper quiet situation, but a gunshot is so very loud that shooters wish to oftentimes use them both for their own hearing protection, and here's a big thing, Tim, too, especially in areas that are not too far from where we sit, where people are in an area that is sufficiently countrified or rural so that they're permitted to shoot on their own property, but yet close enough to neighbors to where the gun report might induce a legal charge of constructive eviction, or just out of politeness, they would prefer not to disturb their neighbors quiet and calm with gunshots. And so that's why people want suppressors often. And those are currently regulated in a similar fashion to machine guns, which is to say you can't go to a gun shop and buy a suppressor and install and use it. You have to go and you fill out the paperwork, you give your licenses, you give photographs like you would be for a passport, you give fingerprints, and you wait a year after they have your money. And it's popular to call them in jail, like, oh, I'm getting a suppressor out of jail next month if I'm lucky, meaning I've been waiting 11 months now, and hopefully the ATF has acted on my application. But and the payment of a $200 tax stamp is also required for the use of a suppressor. Now, one thing that we haven't seen, just like you say there's been two or three uses of legally possessed machine guns that we know of that have been used in crime, which is to say that it's not a problem in the law or in society.
Twice over 85 years. Yeah.
I actually have the data as three times. So
okay. Well, we'll argue about that offline. Yeah.
Same situation with suppressors. We do not have a situation in the United States where people use suppressors in crimes, or that we can't solve crimes because of the use of a suppressor. It's just a non-issue. This is an issue whereby it seems like, and I hate to say it, but you know, the handgun control crowd, they can use it to demonize the gun owners. They can use it to gin up money and support and increase their own power base. And that seems to be why we're having this debate.
It seems like we have to keep going over the same information over and over and over again about the futility of increasing gun control laws, how they have failed almost everywhere they've been tried, how the cities with the strictest gun laws have the highest crime rates, all of that. But let's broaden this out even a little further to talk to those who are maybe on the fence or kind of leaning one way or the other. And I want to center it around, and you and I talked about this before, slogans. Okay, the slogans used by the gun rights community are, in my view, the most effective that I know of. So let's go through the simple slogans and discuss the profound truth contained in each of them. The first one, Scott, is guns don't kill people, people kill people. See it on bumper stickers all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, here, obviously, if a person is intent on being a malicious actor and murdering lots of people, there are many ways for them to do it, and many ways, and even if they couldn't get a gun, there are other ways to do it, and if they can't have legal access to a gun, I mean, think of the level of planning that this shooter used in Las Vegas. The idea that he would somehow be frustrated by some gun ban in doing so, it just seems fantastic. Explain to us how this person would be frustrated in his attempt to buy guns, unless you got a time machine and stopped gun production, you know, 1940, okay, maybe then. But even still, with international trade, seems unlikely. I mean, if you can get tons and tons of cocaine into this country on a daily basis, you think you could get some firearms in here if the market was, you know, providing for it?
These crimes committed with guns are really committed by hearts, not bullets.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in the intent.
Or the brain.
And I
want to say this, Tim.
Shooter.
We know that Charles Whitman, he's the Texas, University of Texas, or maybe it's Charles, is that Charles Whitman? Yeah.
Mr. Whitman.
He's the man who went up to the bell tower and basically rained down hellfire. And if they examined his brain, and he had one of these, you know, giant, I don't know if it was a tumor or whatever, but
yes,
something that was pressing
on. Yes.
So he's not responsible for his, I mean, if you had that on your brain, you would have done the same thing, right? There's no.
And we may yet find that about
yes,
Stephen.
Yes, exactly
Paddock,
right. So maybe that was the case here as well.
I'm wondering if we breathed a sigh of relief when terrorists in Europe mowed down dozens of people with a car instead of guns.
Yeah.
Or whether we felt better that the man in Charlottesville used a car to murder someone, or whether we felt better that, you know, at the Boston Marathon and in Oklahoma City, they used a bomb,
Tim,
instead
Archie,
of guns. I mean,
Archie Bunker had the best line on this when Meathead came in and was railing on gun control and spouted off how many people were killed with guns that year. And Archie's comment was, would you rather they was thrown out of windows?
Yes.
So there you go.
It's absolutely true. It's true. The simplest slogans. And here's another one. I want you to take this one and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
If guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns.
Well, that's a truism, of course, right? I mean, people who are comfortable breaking the law, certainly people who are comfortable massacring dozens and dozens of people, are comfortable breaking the law. It's people like me that have discomfort with breaking law and want to be in compliance with it that you'd frustrate some possession attempts from. And so if you want to keep the guns out of the hands of the bad guys, doesn't seem like that's particularly helpful.
Interesting that we've learned this week, that between 1993 and 2014, we're talking about a 21-year period of this particular measurement, the private ownership of guns in this country increased by more than 50%, while gun-related crimes dropped by almost 50%. So in other words, there was almost there was a parallel movement.
More guns equals less crime everywhere and always. More guns equals less crime everywhere and always.
That's the next slogan. More guns, less crime means, obviously, if somebody knows, particularly with concealed carry permits, with the perpetuation of more concealed carry permits, there's a greater threat level for those who have criminal intent on their minds. If they don't know who's packing heat and who isn't, does it only make logical sense that more people defending themselves armed with guns are going to prevent more crime? The facts, the point is that the facts actually speak for themselves.
Yes, they do.
Huge increase in gun ownership and a correlating drop
by the way, there's a double effect on that, which is like a vaccination effect, which is herd immunity. So if some significant portion of the population carries firearms and I'm a criminal trying to select a victim, well, you, if you don't carry a firearm, also benefit from the fact that some other people do, because you're less likely to be attacked because you may be taken as one of the persons
they
who
may
do
think
carry.
One of the people that does. Yes. Okay. And now here's the most informative slogan, although it's more in the form of a fact. And our friends at the Virginia Citizens Defense League use this, and I think some other gun groups. And we've seen this on a bumper sticker. The slogan, it's not really a slogan, it's a fact. 2.5 million defensive uses of guns every year.
Yes. So what people will often say, what do you need an AR-15 for? You don't need that for hunting or home defense. Well, in fact, these guns are used all the time for home defense and for defensive purposes. The problem is that oftentimes the mainstream media or legacy media only consider these uses when a gun is actually fired or when there's a news report about them, okay? Guns are used many times when there doesn't need to be a news report made because somebody isn't shot, right? If somebody's just held at gunpoint, that's a different thing. Or discouraged from continuing because they see a gun. I mean, I was in an instance once where I defensively used a gun simply by displaying it, and I never used it or fired it, and the police were never called. That's a defensive use of firearms.
Absolutely. And these are just recorded uses where a gun was actually fired defensively, not all the instances you're talking about, which are too numerous to count.
People use guns all the time to protect and defend themselves.
Do you still get a kick out of those people on the left who try to couch their gun-grabbing ways in, by saying, we respect the legitimate rights of hunters, as if the Second Amendment was put so high up in the Bill of Rights because they wanted to make sure everybody could go hunt, rather than defend themselves from the tyranny of government and criminals?
So much of what I see coming from that side is laughable when I know that the same people often in control and at the head of these organizations have said in various guises and to other populations that their goal is confiscation of firearms. We know that that is often the case, and quite frankly, we don't trust them, and we're past the game of dealing with them in terms of believing they're honest brokers of some sort of resolution that lets us retain our rights. We're convinced, I think as a group, the pro-gun side of things, that those people are not honest brokers, that they wish to deprive and deny us of our constitutionally guaranteed rights to self-defense and to keep and bear arms, and we resist.
Well, yes, we're with the resistance when it comes to guns, and let me remind those on the left that whether it was Hitler or Stalin or Mao or Castro, the first act of tyrants is to round up the guns.
Everywhere and always.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Tim.
The man who's shaken up Europe as much as Trump has shaken up the U.S. is the leader of the Brexit movement, which led to England's dramatic, some would say earth-shattering, withdrawal from the European Union. Nigel Farage And LibertyNation.com is bringing Nigel Farage to Washington, D.C. He makes his appearance on Thursday, October 12th. It promises to be a memorable evening. An evening with Nigel Farage, October 12th. Make your reservations now at LibertyNation.com because seating is limited. I'm Tim Donner, and this is The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com.